It's time once again for our monthly catch-up with RNIB's campaigns team. Now, each month, Costa Asprew and guests join us to talk about some of the current campaigns, ongoing campaigns, and also to encourage you to get involved in campaigning as well as volunteers, because if you're blind or partially sighted or someone with sight, you can make a huge difference. So, Costa, how are we today?
Very well, thanks, Helen. Great to join you again.
Good stuff. Right, we've got a couple of topics we're going to chat about. First of all, I'll talk a little bit later about accessible voting, very current. But let's look, first of all, at pavement parking.
That's right. At RNIB, we campaign to challenge social exclusion, including daily challenges, such as inaccessible transport, street furniture, or shared space schemes that make getting out and about more difficult. A recurring problem, just as you've mentioned, that our supporters tell us about is pavement parking, where cars or vans park on the pavement, making it difficult or dangerous for a blind or partially sighted person to walk down the street. Sometimes people even have to walk out onto the road to get past the parked vehicle. We're joined by our campaigns officer, Zoe, who can tell us about some of the key developments in the campaign against pavement parking.
Thank you, Costa. Pavement parking is really important. Making streets accessible and safe for blind and partially sighted people is one of the most important campaigns that we run. We believe that inclusive journeys start and end with accessible pavements.
Zoe, I'm a guide dog owner myself, so I know exactly what it's like when you come to streets, you know, and there's cars and vans all over the pavements, and having to step out into the road can be frightening for some, and, you know, not just for people with visual impairments either. It could be parents with buggies, people with other mobility issues as well. So it does affect a lot of people.
Yeah, that's right. Vehicles parked partially or fully on pavements obstruct walkways and often can't be detected by people with sight loss until it's too late, causing people to collide with parked vehicles, at best losing confidence of independence and at worst resulting in injury. Pavement parking can also mean pedestrians are forced to venture into the road to bypass parked vehicles, placing them in danger of moving vehicles in the road. So this is particularly problematic for people with visual impairment, but it also affects people who might be wheelchair users, mobility scooter users, or parents with buggies or prams.
So have you heard from people across the country then about this problem and how it's directly affecting them?
Yes, this is a major issue that we hear from our supporters in terms of preventing people from getting out and about safely, the impact that it has on your confidence if you do have an accident or a near miss.
Absolutely, I totally agree. And, you know, sometimes if you are forced to go a different direction, a different way that you don't know, I suppose that whole confidence thing is really affected. So, I mean, what can RNIB do? Because it is such a prolific problem.
Well, this is something that we campaign about on a regular basis, and we support our local campaigners to campaign as well, and in lots of different ways, working with local authorities and raising awareness. But we have actually got a really excellent opportunity coming up at the moment, because we have just heard recently that there is going to be an inquiry launched by the Transport Committee into pavement parking. So we're really excited about the opportunity this presents us with.
Now, there are changes afoot as well, Zoe, in Scotland at the moment. There's been a lot of debate in the Scottish Parliament. We're actually going to be looking at this very soon on RNIB Connect Radio. So is this a Westminster issue then? Are they the ones that are saying, you know, we have to look into this now?
It's a government committee, but I think it's been announced because of the sort of ramping up of pressure that has been brought about by a sort of tireless work of campaigners up and down the UK, making people aware of what an issue this is and how it can really negatively impact a wide range of people.
But it really shows how, you know, a problem that may just affect an individual in their city, town or village can really have an effect across the UK. So I suppose that collective voice of RNIB's campaigners can make a big difference here.
Absolutely. Yeah, even just acting as an individual in a sort of local scale, your voice does matter, and particularly if you're able to sort of get people on board and motivate local people into sort of joining up campaigns, you can absolutely get your voice heard and make big changes like this.
In terms of an answer then, or what can be done, obviously this is quite important at the moment with this announcement that it's going to be looked into. What can people do? What can RNIB do?
We at RNIB believe that this is an equality issue, and we believe that the Department for Transport should enforce a full countrywide ban as part of its Equality Action Plan and in line with the Equality Act 2010. So in terms of what people can do to sort of make that a reality, the pavement parking inquiry is asking for written evidence on, one, the impact of pavement parking, two, the enforcement of pavement parking offences, and three, enforcement and, if necessary, reform of traffic regulation orders needed to deal with pavement parking. So if you want to have your say on pavement parking and how it's affecting you, you can upload your written comments on the UK Parliament website. RNIB are also going to be submitting a statement to the inquiry. So if you want to tell us about your thoughts or experiences with pavement parking for us to include in the RNIB statement, just get in touch with us. Make sure that you submit your thoughts and written statements to RNIB or to Parliament website before the closing date for submissions, which is the 14th of May.
We will give the contact details a little bit later. You can do that via RNIB's campaigns team, Zoe. But is there support then because this inquiry has been called? Is it positive support?
Absolutely. Lillian Greenwood, who will be chairing the inquiry, has publicly recognise that this is a serious issue. She actually said in a media statement that this is an area where some people's actions cause real difficulties for others. Parking on pavements risks the safety of all groups of people, from the littlest to the oldest, with differing needs.
And when you think as well, Zoe, away from the whole safety point of view, you know, people, if they want to think with their pockets, think of the damage that's being caused to pavements.
It is a real issue. Pavements are designed for pedestrians. So when vehicles, which are significantly heavier, park on pavements, it can cause costly damage to those pavements, to curbs and to tactile paving, adding further pressure to already stretched council budgets.
And more money on your council tax maybe as well.
Absolutely.
Pavement parking, it happens everywhere, Zoe. You know, there's streets that are not designed for the amount of vehicles we've got on the roads today. But are there specific laws which can tackle this?
Yeah. So large good vehicles are currently prohibited from parking on pavements throughout England. And pavement parking has been banned in London since 1974 and can incur a fine of up to £70. But this is not currently the case for the rest of England. The key difference is set out in the Highway Code, which states that drivers must not park partially or wholly on the pavement in London and should not do so elsewhere unless signs permit it. So while pavement parking is advised against throughout England, it's only supported by legislation currently in London.
So some real big issues here, Costa, and sometimes pavement parking, you know, we do come back to this quite a lot. So it's good to hear that at the higher levels of politics, then people are starting to take notice.
That's right. And it's something which can seem to rumble on and people can take a lot of action locally. But it's great that we've got to the stage where, as you said, at a high level, it's getting recognised and there's the space for further change to happen.
We just need people to get involved. We'll give you your contact details a little bit later. We are staying with politics, though, of a sort, Costa. We're looking at voting.
That's right. So moving on to a slightly different barrier to inclusion now. So we are concerned about access to elections, with the right to vote independently and in secret being a cornerstone of our parliamentary democracy. But yet blind and partially sighted people continue to face unacceptable barriers to exercising their democratic right to vote. This year, we worked with the Electoral Commission to develop new resources for election staff, including an update to their training guides, a training video, which you can find on our website, and a checklist of what should be in every polling station before it opens. For example, every polling station should have the correct tactile voting device, large print ballot papers, and well-trained staff. We also delivered a keynote speech at the annual conference of the Association of Electoral Administrators about their responsibilities to disabled people when it comes to planning and running elections. We're asking people to share with us their experience of voting in local elections so we can feed this back to the Electoral Commission. So if you needed assistance but were unable to access it, or on the other hand, if you got what you needed and the polling station staff understood how to support you to vote, then get in touch and let us know.
That's quite an important one, because we talk about the negatives all the time, don't we, Costa? When it comes to voting, I mean, I've had experience of going to a polling station and asking for the template and they don't know what it is. Or they bring it to you because they found it in a box somewhere, but they don't know how to use it. So, you know, we do hear this quite a lot, or even finding your polling station, you know, checking your polling card. But it is also good to find out good practice as well.
That's right. There can be, just as you said, different barriers, whether it's getting to the station. And I suppose we are really concerned at what happens when people get to the station, and that they do have the staff who are actually well trained to know how to use what people need to enable them to vote independently and in secret. But then also identifying when that does work well, and when we've got good practice or best practice, and when that actually does become a reality, it's good for us to hear, and it's good for areas where it's not happening for them to learn from that.
And who would have thought we're going to be voting in a European election? just to throw that into the mix there.
Yeah, in the current times, it's nothing's a surprise, should we say.
And you never know, there could be a general election not long after that. Oh, head-scratching time.
We'll have to hang in there.
Hang in there, absolutely. Of course, so that's us for this month. But as I said, we're going to give out some contact details so people can learn more about the voting, about the pavement parking, to get involved in that. But also, we're looking to encourage people to become campaigners, to get involved and help make these changes as well.
That's right. And campaigning can sometimes take time and effort, but the change can be long-lasting. We can't do it without blind and partially sighted people getting involved and making it happen. So if you'd like to get involved with campaigning to make your local area more accessible, we have some great resources to help you, and we can put you in touch with your local regional campaigns officer. Just visit rnib.org.uk/campaigns, email campaigns@rnib.org.uk, or call our campaigns hotline on 0207 391 2123.
And you can get all the info on the campaigns we've been talking about today and more besides. Almost out of time, so for the moment, to Costa and to Zoe, thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan.
Thanks for having me.